Yo!
Hey!
Welcome back to the top 10 games of all time. This is part two. Just doing a recap of the list. I got from 10 to 1, I got Metal Gear Solid 5 at number 10, Fallout 3 / New Vegas at number 9, Rainbow Six Siege at number 8, Call of Duty 4 at 7. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt at 6, Resident Evil 4 at 5, Metal Gear Solid 1 Twin Snakes at number 4, Mass Effect 2 at number 3, number 2 is The Last of Us, number 1 Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. What's your list?
So Connor's list might change, but this is his list so far.
So far, number 10, I have GTA 5. Number 9, Modern Warfare 2. Number 8, God of War 4. For number 7, Rainbow Six Siege. For number 6, Blacklist, Splinter Cell. Number 5, Red Dead 1. Number 4, Spider-Man 4, PS4. For 3, Max Payne 2. For 2, The Last of Us. And for number 1, I have Red Dead 2.
A few surprises that I'm just looking over your list and just thinking, like, I didn't see a Skyrim, I didn't see a Fallout, and I didn't see a Hitman game on there. Like, what do you think about those surprises?
Yeah, and to add on that, I'm surprised I don't have a Metal Gear game on here, too.
You don't have? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I don't have Metal Gear, man. So I'm thinking I have to change it now.
Like, oh, my Lord.
Definitely. No Metal Gear. Yeah, no Metal Gear. That's so surprising. I'm like, damn it.
Do you have Call of Duty on it?
I have, yeah, Modern Warfare 2.
Oh. Ah, it's so weird, man. Those four games, actually. Oh my God, that's so strange. Yeah. But yeah, those are the big ones I seen off your list. I thought that was weird. Maybe a BioShock game is weird, but I don't know if you're. Are you a big BioShock fan? Like the series?
Yeah, I like the BioShock Infinite.
BioShock Infinite. Yeah, like I remember one. I didn't beat all the way. Like I never bought it, but I played two, which was kind of weird. And with Infinite, I like the main game. It was okay, but the DLC, Buried at Sea, part 1 and 2, they're both really good. But, yeah, this is my list. I don't know, my list seems final to me. I have some crazy remissions that I missed. Like, I didn't put Skyrim on mine. I didn't put Hitman, BioShock, Uncharted 4, Halo 3. Yeah, just a couple of remissions that I regret from my list. So, any other thoughts for your list? Are you going to do any changes to your list?
Yeah, I'm going to add at least one Hitman game and Metal Gear. So, I'm just working on what to change, what to switch out.
Okay. Is there, like, one or two games on your list that feel like might be interchangeable? I'm looking at Max Payne. I'm looking at Max Payne.
I don't know. For me, I'm looking at Modern Warfare 2 and GTA 5.
How much did... GTA 5 mean to you?
It meant a lot, but it's been 5 years. Back then graphics were pretty good, and on Xbox One they were like amazing. But 5 years, man. I'm sorry, Rockstar, but I might have to change my selection.
I really like GTA 5. Like it came out I didn't have a next gen console. So I bought it on 360, beat it, and at first I really liked it for like the first like 8 or 10 hours, I loved it. But with GTA, I just got kind of disappointed by that game, honestly. It's like there's so many like the heists are the best part of that campaign and the multiplayer, but like there's so many missions where you're setting up for the heist in the single player, and like it's so boring, dude. Like, oh, go do this, like get this crane ready. Or get this, go get this loader. Like, go get this dump truck. And just, like, so many, like, setup missions. Like, you know, you can't have vanilla cake every day. Like, oh, every mission's a heist because, you know, like, if you have vanilla cake every day, like, sure, it's good every now and then, but you can't have it over and over. But, yeah, I didn't really enjoy the characters GTA 5. Like, I don't want to get way into it, but, like, Franklin, I feel like, had the most potential. And by the end of the game, you're like, they didn't know what to do with Franklin. I really liked him at first. I'm like, wow, he's so cool. He was my favorite character, but they squandered his potential. You know, I feel like they could have done way more stuff with Franklin. They didn't. But I don't know. That's just my piece on GTA. I think it's a really fine game. Like, I had fun with it. The heists were cool, but just some remissions with the writing. Do you agree with those thoughts? Do you feel like they were kind of wasted Franklin in a way, like great potential, or?
Yeah, I feel like he had a lot more potential with the character development stuff. Yes, sorry, I was like doing pull-ups.
Excuse me. You know, just like all those like points that you mentioned, like, you know, it's almost like every mission you're getting ready for a heist, or you're talking about doing a heist, and then you do it. So yeah. You know, those are really good points, so I'm gonna have to change my list.
Okay. I'm just thinking, like, sorry, I'm kind of away from the mic, but we should lock in our list. I'm thinking. All right. Just so this podcast isn't 3 hours long, but the list I have before is still the same when we listed it for part two. For your list, do you want to do any last minute changes before we lock it in and like go through the list? We already talked about some of the games on the list that we went deep on the last podcast, but like, do you want to make any last minute changes to your list?
Yeah.
Do so now, forever hold your peace, because the next time we're doing this is 10 years.
Yeah, I might have to add another game to swap out, which you might be right, is Max Payne 2.
And Max Payne 2 is at number 4.
Number 3.
Oh my god, dude, number 3? Dude, that's so high for Max Payne 2.
So I'm going to have to like switch it out, then I'm going to have to rearrange some of the games. So, yeah.
I think you're going to have to rearrange your brain for putting Max Payne 2 at number 3.
Turns the story, man, it was lit.
Hey, man. You know, I'm just joking around. Personal experiences, you know. Like, I got 3 Metal Gear games on my list. Like, what kind of brain sense is that? It's 0. And you got 0. So, Metal. No. I thought I knew you, man. Metal Gear's on your list, dude. I'm freaking out, dude. I'm playing Five Finger Filet with this knife thinking about this, dude. I'm doing Five Finger Filet on my brain thinking about your list. But any last minute changes, you could do it now.
Yeah, so I'm going to swap out Modern Warfare 2 and GTA 5 and Max Payne 2. And the I'm going to add Hitman. Sorry to do this, but Hitman Absolution.
Oh, God.
I know. And Metal Gear Solid 3. And the final game I'm going to add, or like replace, is Batman Arkham City.
I'm just saying, once you make these changes, they're penciled in.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, let's say we're later in the podcast and be like, oh, that was a mistake. You'd be like, oh, that's fine. Be like, oh, I should have done this. But yeah, do it now or forever hold your peace, Connor Sanchez. But yeah, I just want to talk about, as Connor is making his changes, we'll go over it once he makes his changes. Get your pencil and paper ready. I'm really surprised Connor's not picking Hitman Blood Money over Hitman Absolution. I have some problems with Absolution, like in 2012. Like, Connor loved that game, and I saw the reviews, and I kind of agreed with it playing through it. Absolution was basically... So in Hitman Absolution compared to Blood Money, like, Blood Money didn't have any, like, checkpoints. Like, you'd arrive in an area, and whatever you do in that spot, like, you have to restart the mission. But, like, you can't, like, there's no checkpoint. So if you mess something up, you got to restart the whole mission in Blood Money. But in Absolution, like, there's this checkpointing system. Like, you go from sequence to sequence, and, like, just, like you go to a you go do something in the... in an area in front of you, and then you go back to a previous area, and then like everything changes because of the checkpointing. So I don't know, it's kind of complicated, but yeah, I just feel like Hitman Absolution just didn't have the maps that Blood Money did, or like the funny like ideas and the funny scenarios you can, like the assassinations you can do in Blood Money. Like, Blood Money had the rehab clinic, it had the Mardi Gras scene, it had this suburban area with the clown. And there's more than that, but I just feel like the areas and the situation stuff just wasn't the same. What are your thoughts on my thoughts on that?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry.
Okay, no, it's all good. I'm just going off on Absolution. But
I just want to say I'm really, are you surprised that Far Cry 3 is not on your list?
Yeah, but I don't know what to say, but yeah, I'm like pretty surprised. I can't really follow up on that because I'm busy just rearranging my list right now, so.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. So yeah, Connor's just rearranging his list. Yeah, I'm just gonna pause it for a second. I gotta make a change. Okay, yeah, and we're back. I just had to take a break because I was running out of stuff to talk about. But yeah, with I'm really surprised Far Cry 3 is not on your list, Connor. But I feel like I kind of understand why, because remember back in 2012, me and Connor both played Far Cry 3, and we loved that game. But like, the way they ended Voss in that game kind of was so nonchalant, you know, just like, just like, oh, great. So basically, like, spoilers of Far Cry 3, but it was an amazing open world game at the time in 2012. It's obviously outdated now. Came out 5 years ago, but like...
6 years ago now.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful looking game, and like the outposts and the stealth, like first person stealth. That was the first time I really enjoyed it, and was in Far Cry 3. And yeah, I love that game, but yeah, with Voss, spoilers for Far Cry 3, but they end him in a dream sequence. Like, and there's like multiple copies of Voss, and it was just like the worst, like, and you wake up and he's dead or something, and just like, how do you end one of the greatest villains in games of all time in a bad way, in a dream sequence? Like, terrible. But yeah, I don't know if you wanted to go over your list, your changes.
Yeah, so I just made some changes. Yeah, my list, I swapped out GTA 5, Modern Warfare 2, and Max Payne 2 for Batman, Arkham City, Hitman Absolution, and Metal Gear Solid 3.
Maybe you should reread your list from 1 to 10 or 10 to 1.
Yeah, so number 1, I have Red Dead 2. Number 2, I have The Last of Us. Number 3, I have Metal Gear Solid 3. Number 4, Spider-Man 4, Spider-Man PS4. Number 5, Red Dead 1. Number 6, Batman Arkham City. Number 7, Rainbow Six Siege. Number 8, God of War 4. Number 9, I have Splinter Cell Blacklist. And number 10, I have Hitman Absolution.
Okay. Is Batman on your list?
Yeah, Batman Arkham City.
Okay. So yeah, so this is your list. It's locked in. This is next podcast we do is in 10 years. Or 20 years, I should say. But yeah, it's pretty interesting. Maybe we'll just go through our list and just like we'll talk about like importance of games. Obviously, like yesterday we went over Metal Gear Solid 3. We went over The Last of Us a little bit. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more. Well, not really. So sorry, just to recap. Yesterday we talked about Metal Gear Solid 3, Last of Us. We didn't talk MGS1. We talked Rainbow Six. We didn't talk Fallout. We didn't talk Metal Gear Solid 5. We did a little bit. And on your list, maybe we'll just go through games and we'll talk about like the importance. So obviously number 1, Metal Gear Solid 3, we talked about it. Number 2, The Last of Us. Do you want to elaborate more on The Last of Us? We did talk about it yesterday a lot.
What, like just talk about The Last of Us or like talk about it being on our list in general?
Maybe the importance. We already talked about it yesterday, but like any other thoughts, like short thoughts yet on it?
Well, you know, as you know, The Last of Us is like phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just didn't feel like a game, personally. Like
it felt more like a movie or something.
It felt like a movie. Like just the characters, like the voice acting from
Troy Baker.
From Troy Baker was really good, and I forgot the lady voice actor's name. I'm following her on
Yeah,
Twitter.
I think it's Erin.
No. It's fine, but you can look it up. But yeah, The Last of Us, probably game of the. It was so close to being my number one, but Metal Gear Solid 3 meant way too much to me. So. Yeah, The Last of Us. I think people already know about it. We talked about it yesterday, but at my number 3, I have Mass Effect 2. Any thoughts on Mass Effect 2 that you have?
Yeah, I remember that you lent me the game for 360. Now, that was probably my second encounter with the franchise, because the first time I played Mass Effect was with Mass Effect 3.
Okay.
Which kind of like, you know, it's like messed, but yeah, when I played Mass Effect 3, man, oh man, that game was awesome. And then I played Mass Effect 2, remember you lent it out to me, like, that game.
Yeah, I was like, dude, Connor, play this game, like, you kind of have to play the first one to kind of understand everything, but still you're like, yeah, I like that. I was like, that's cool.
Yeah. Oof, man. Yeah. Mass Effect 2, that game was awesome.
Oh, so my bad. With Mass Effect 2, yeah, like, I love the Mass Effect trilogy. Probably my favorite trilogies and games of all time is probably number one, Metal Gear, and number two has to be Mass Effect. I feel like Mass Effect was, like, really good. The trilogy was amazing. You know, people have problems with one, people have problems with three, but with two is amazing. Besides, the ending was a little bit fuzzy, but I was going to a little bit, like, I love the Mass Effect trilogy. Mass Effect 1, I'll just shortly summarize it, was... came out in 2007, and the shooting, like, if you go back to it, I played about twice, like, the shooting is really rough, like, there's a lot of, like, rough around the edges, because the gameplay is, like, not good, the Mako is bad, but overall, like, it introduced you to, like, kind of one of the best games in the series, because it introduced you to all the alien species, the whole universe, introducing you to it, and getting to know all the new characters was really cool, but with Mass Effect 2 and Mass Effect 3, like, Mass Effect 2 was the best of both worlds, the best parts of 1 and best parts of 3, mixed into one, where the gameplay, they refined it. The stories, the characters was really cool, and Mass Effect 2, I'll do minor spoiler, I'll just say the intro and I'm probably done, but Mass Effect 2 opens with you getting attacked by a collector ship, and basically your main character, Shepard, dies in the intro sequence. Like, how many video games or media, anything, starts with your main character dying, and then Mass Effect, like, the title card goes up, like, What do you think about that intro? Like,
yeah, I remember, you know, when I played that game, I was like, wait, what? And then, you know, Mass Effect 2 shows, and I'm like, whoa.
Basically, yeah, like, I'll just summarize it quickly. Like, Joker's still in the pilot seat. Like your ship is blown apart, and you're trying to save Joker. You save Joker, but then you go out into space. And just you, like, fumbling at your suit, like, trying to breathe, and then floating towards, like, the planet's surface, and then, like, the horizon goes over the planet, like, Mass Effect 2. I'll just, like, I remember playing that back in 2010 and just, like, whoa, like, I just, like, stood up. I was just, like, wow, like, you know, just, like, the balls to start a game like that. Yeah. The cojones to start a game like that. Like, you know, that just, like, this, like, player choice and just, like, yeah, just a good game. Like, yeah. I don't know what else to say. But, yeah, so that's my top three. Number four, I have Metal Gear Solid 1, Twin Snakes. May I just shortly summarize it, because, you know, I don't want to take forever on this podcast. I'm tired and I want to go to the gym.
Yeah, same.
But Mass Effect 1, Twin Snakes. Do you have any thoughts on this? Do you want to start first?
Yeah, so this is the one where Snake sneaks into Shadow Moses, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I've only played that game once, and that was a long time ago. So I, like, briefly remember. I remember, like, you know, you sneaked into Shadow Moses because someone took it over. The thing was, like, I don't know, like, Liquid or Revolver Ocelot. Then, you know, you have a cause as your guy on the radio, and you find out it's Liquid.
It's actually Liquid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then that's really all I remember. It's, like, really rough around the edges. Like, it's just kind of, like, it's kind of, like, fuzzy for me.
Yeah, it was the first game in the series. I never played the original one for PlayStation. I was kind of too young, but I played... There's a remake on GameCube that came out called Twin Snakes. That's the first time I played it. They changed a lot about that game, and I really loved that game. It was a really weird game at the time. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I was really young when I played it, but just, like, it was just so, like... No other games... I feel like I say this for every game, like, no other game was like this, blah, blah, blah. I have that for every game, but cliche. But, like, the game just introduced me to, like, I don't know, like, so many great moments in that game with Meryl, like, Ken Love Bloom on the battlefield, like, cool quotes like that. Psycho Mantis they introduced you to, like, put your controller on the ground, like, pretty fun. The battle with Sniper Wolf. Yeah. I feel like that was so powerful. Like, the first one, we were on the catwalk, and, like, and you're with Meryl, and basically, like, Meryl, like, exposed herself, and then she gets shot, and then, like, Meryl's just laying on the ground, and, like, Snake doesn't have a sniper rifle at that point, and he's just, like, trying to fight, like, talking to the Colonel, which is, that's Meryl's dad, and just, like, and, like, the Colonel getting emotional for the first time, like, come on, please save her, and he's, like, and, like, Snake getting emotional, and just, like, and, like, the torture scene in that game, where, like, how you play that torture scene changes your ending. Like, I don't know, just, like, so many things I could say about that, but, like, It just felt so revolutionary. It made me, for the first time, like, before that, I was only playing, like, shooter games and Mario and stuff, and that made opened me up to, like, story games and, like, oh, games can have good writing, like, oh my god, like, twists and turns, and, yeah, great game. But I think it'd be hard to go back to for people, because it's hard to play. You can't get it on new consoles, and, like, it's hard to play, but whatever. My number five, Resident Evil 4. Don't want to start the tradition, you want to talk about it first, because I'm long-winded.
Yeah. Resident Evil 4, man,
Did you ever play that game?
Yeah, but I haven't. Well, I have beat it, but that was a long time ago. But I recently did play it. Like,
did you play it on like PS2?
No, I played on PS4.
PS4.
Yeah, the remastered version.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I played on PS4. You know, starts off as you looking for the president's daughter in some town in Spain, I think.
Spain.
Then you know you're like with these two like cops. They're like just dropping you off. Then, you know, you go to check out some house.
And it's just some guy stoking the fire. Yeah. You're like, hello, sir. Sir.
Yeah. Like, bro.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Put the fire poker down.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, a bunch of other stuff happens. Like, the whole town is just turned against you. But, yeah, that game was... It's a wise choice.
I want to share one moment I had. I went up to my friend's house, and I was a teenager, and he was playing that game. And do you remember one sequence in that game, a boss fight, the lake monster?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So basically, yeah, like, so there's an Easter egg where, like, let's say, like, here's the lake with the boat. You can go onto that and fight the boss immediately, and then imagine your head, like, you go to the left up a path, like, to a cliff overlooking the lake. And apparently, if you go up there and shoot at the water a bunch of times, the lake monster, like, comes up out of the water and grabs you, and you're dead. Like, yeah. It's an Easter egg.
Oh.
Basically, you know, that angers the monster. And, like, my friend was, like, he was just about to do the boss fight. I didn't know. I was just a kid watching him. He's like, yeah, go up there and shoot the water a few times. Something cool happens. I'm like, okay. Go up there, shoot the water a couple times. It's like, oh, my God. Like, I freak out. And just, like, the monster grabs you and you die. I'm just like... Like, I was just, like, I never played horror games back then. I was just, like, whew, like,
yeah.
That game meant so much to me. It was so scary, man, way back then. And, like, the game's, like, 20 hours long for that way ahead of its time. And it's, like, Resident Evil 4. Like, go play it now. It still holds up.
Yeah.
Some frustrating moments. But my favorite part of that game is, like, there's a part where you get to the castle area. And, like, basically the enemies turn to cultists.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they start, like, chanting. Like let's say, like, they start chanting in another room, and you start to hear, like, the chanting over and over, and it's really scary. Like, even if you watch clips of it today, it's actually, like, sends, like, shivers down your spine, and just, like, legitimately creepy, like, even now, like,
yeah.
Like, even, like, look it up, like, the chanting, and just, like, that moment was probably scary. The cultists in that game, which, and, like, the regenerator, yeah, that just a couple of moments I wanted to share with us before. I loved it. One of the best games of all time. I wish I had it higher on my list, but sure. I don't. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. I talked about it yesterday. I won't get into it too much, but so for The Witcher 3, it's the game I wanted Skyrim to be. Like I said yesterday, you know, a richer story, combat where you actually have to use your brain instead of in Skyrim you just hold the trigger down, power attack. Kill him.
Yeah.
But with The Witcher 3, you actually got to use your brain. You actually got to think. Like, what's this enemy doing? What's his weaknesses? What's his strengths? You got to use your brain to, if you're playing on normal difficulty. And just, like the deepness of it was what I'm looking for with Skyrim. Skyrim was just, like, I'm playing it right now. Like, it's fine, but I wanted something deeper than that. And that's what The Witcher 3 provided. Player choices that matter. If you're going to play The Witcher 3, try to play The Witcher 2 first before playing it. But any thoughts on The Witcher 3?
Yeah, The Witcher 3, great game. It is, you know, like, yeah, I don't know why I didn't put it on my list, but, you know, it's, like, pretty high up there, even though it's not on my list. Like, it's, yeah, it's, like, a really good game. The story was pretty captivating.
Yeah.
The
ending is really good for that game, man. Like, the post-credit scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I want to mention Ciri is one of my favorite characters in that game. Over Geralt, like, I loved Geralt, his dry humor and stuff, but Ciri, she was really cool in that game. Like, shout out, yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, I would have to agree with you because, you know, Stewie's, like, faster and all that. Like, she's younger.
I remember I remember in a previous podcast, you're like, yeah, Siri is really fun to play. I'm like, yeah, she's really lightweight. She has, like, that teleporting ability.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I remember you saying to me, you're like, why don't you just play as Siri? I'm like, you're right, dude. Because, you know, Geralt's, like, the heavier character, more older and, like, more, like, deliberate. And
yeah, who knows? Maybe, next Witcher game. Play a Siri.
Dude, that's what I was saying. Like, I want a Siri game, but, like, you know, right now they're working on Cyberpunk 2077, mm-hmm. and that game looks amazing, yeah. So, like, they might be done with it for a while, like, way down the road. Maybe they'll make it.
Yeah, I heard that, CD Projekt Red, CD Projekt Red, I heard, like, they have plans to make Witcher 4, but that's not gonna happen for a while, because they want to take a step back. Reevaluate like what they want to do for the story because they want to be sure because they said it could be their last Witcher game in the series. So
a Siri game would be amazing, like you said, like more lightweight character, and I like female protagonists personally. And I'll just say, like, amazing game, Witcher 3. Try to play the Witcher 2 or else you'll kind of be not understanding anything. And that was a rhetoric I saw from a lot of people, like, I just don't understand this. I'm like, please try to play the Witcher 2. Like, the combat is weird, like, the story's weird, but, like, once you get over that hump, like, it's satisfying, man. It's cool. But, Witcher 3. I was going to say something else, but I can't remember. That was a great ending. Call of Duty 4. I think there's not much to say. Like, maybe I'll go first on Call of Duty 4. I have just literally thousands of hours. Like, I've mentioned this before on a previous, like, regular Wrong Potato podcast, what it meant to me. But, like, 10 years ago, like, they just revolutionized the shooter genre. Like, create a class, leveling up system, customizing your guns, and just, like, yeah, it was a template for shooters even now. Like, it was, like, 15 years ago when they made that game, and or 10 years ago. And any thoughts on Call of Duty 4? I don't really have any thoughts. Like, people already know, like, started a whole new generation of shooters. Change the game.
COD 4. Back when it came out, it was really something.
And you were probably 7 years old.
Yeah.
2007.
Yeah, and I feel like back when it came out, man, it was really something with the story. You know, you play as a Soap McTavish, who's a former SAS soldier. Then you play as a Marine. Soap. Yeah, and then you play as a Marine. I forget what's his name, but yeah.
Soap. Isn't it?
No, Soap is the SAS.
Opera. Is he?
Yeah.
You're right, because they go through that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Soap's SAS.
Roach?
No, no. Forget his name, but I know he's a Marine.
Yeah.
Oof. But, you know, the story alone was, like, pretty captivating, and, I really recall that one scene, that one mission where you're, like, on the chopper, you're, like, bugging out, then, you know, a nuke goes off.
Oh, yeah, I was just thinking that in my head, like, that was so powerful back in 2007, nuclear bomb, like, you're leaving, mm-hmm. and, like, you're in the helicopter, and, like, it shows the aftermath of you, like, the helicopter crash, and you're, like, trying to crawl away, but, like, the nuclear fallout, like, you're, and then you die.
Yeah.
It was very powerful.
Yeah.
Great pull on that.
Yeah. I remember just, you know, when I first played the game, I was did my character just die? And then I don't know, I kind of thought I did something wrong, and it was like the story just kept going, like, oh, okay. But yeah, like, that was a really powerful scene. And the multiplayer, man, oh, no. Yeah, the multiplayer was lit.
So that's COD 4. Love that game back then. Rainbow Six Siege. We went into it yesterday, how my heart is beating every time I try to clutch, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. But I just want to say, like, Rainbow Six Siege, I play about every 2 days. I play it almost every night. Love that game still. I follow Pro League for Rainbow Six Siege. I follow, like, I don't follow any esports. I never loved esports like StarCraft, Dota. I didn't give an F. But with Rainbow Six Siege, like, the Pro League community, go check it out. It's pretty fun. Go watch them on Twitch. But yeah, I said my piece for Rainbow Six already. Fallout. I put Fallout 3 / New Vegas. I broke the rules, but just, like, what do I do, man? Like, Fallout meant a lot to me. Fallout. I remember playing those games back then, and just, like, it was so weird, like, when that game came out, like, the old school music on the radio, mm-hmm. and just, like, Like exploring through like abandoned towns, abandoned cities, actually pretty scary way back then.
Yeah.
The VAT system was revolutionary. Like no other game has that even today. Like the VAT system is amazing. And I don't know what else to say about Fallout. Player choice. I love player choice in games, man.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts on Fallout? I don't really know what to say. Like.
Yeah. You know, as I mentioned before, the VAT system was like revolutionary.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. It's. Even today, yeah, you know, like no other game can really do that. And, you know, play choice, just roaming around, and then, you know, the music is like pretty, what's the word? Distinct, I guess you can say.
Yeah, unique, distinct.
Yeah. And, yeah, it was like just like really something, so. Also really respect that franchise, like really love it, so good choice.
Yeah, I had to show Bethesda some love. I'm surprised I didn't have Skyrim or Oblivion or anything on here.
Yeah.
With Fallout 4 I was kind of disappointed by, so yeah, my problem is Fallout 4. I just like not enough player choice in that game. Like before in Fallout 3 in New Vegas, like you made choices that would impact the game, and in Fallout 4 there's like you can't really talk to anybody. Like most places you go to, it's raiders or bugs, and you fight them and you kill them, and that's it.
Yeah.
Both in New Vegas and 3, like, there's different paths you go down. Like, make peace with these guys, backstab them, work with them. Like, so many different choices. And with Fallout 4, sure, it's the best the game has ever looked. The graphics, the shooting and the gameplay felt really nice. They added settlements, but like the story and the player choice, like they kind of like, it's like a teeter totter on one end. We're like. Before the gameplay was subpar and it's way down here, and on the other side of the teeter totter it's like gameplay, and now it shifted when Fallout 4 came out with like the gameplay and the graphics look great, but the story and the player choice, it's like a teeter totter, like I said. But yeah, it's Fallout. My last game, number 10, Metal Gear Solid 5 Phantom Pain. I'm surprised I had this game on my list. You know this game. Talk about this game.
Mm.
Do you have this on your list?
Sadly, no. Ooh. But you know I. Still love that game to this day. I love just like the story, you know, getting revenge, all that. I love.
He has come to.
Yeah, I love how it felt like, you know, just playing it with like all the stealth mechanics, like it was like, yeah, it was like really, it was really unique. But I'm also sad that we didn't get to see another chapter or a proper end to the game.
Yeah, with Metal Gear Solid 5, I put it on my list for one reason. Like, the story, you know how I feel about the story. I talked about it, but, like, disappointing. Because, and I wish what happened was, like, what? Tell us what happened. Like, maybe there'll be a tell-all book. Like, did Kojima ask for too much? Did Konami shortchange Kojima? Because you know something happened between Kojima and Konami where, like, Kojima didn't get to do his thing. Like, I feel like he did, I don't know, like, something happened there. But the single reason I put that on my list is like Metal Gear Solid 5, I would say it's the best gameplay I've ever had in a video game. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, the gameplay in that game.
Yeah, it was, you know, like, really one of the best with just everything. Like, how it looked, what you can do in that game, how it felt when you play, like, you know, as I said, the stealth mechanics.
Sorry, no, keep going. I have a thought.
And the dynamic weather. You know, like sandstorms would randomly happen, or like rain, or yeah.
Dude, D-Dog, D-Horse, Quiet, like the companions.
Yeah, the companion system. I would say Quiet would be my favorite. Like, oh man, you know, to this day, I'm still heartbroken over, like, yeah, spoilers, no minor spoiler, but like, you know, like Quiet leaves and she dies, like, oh man, like. I remember seeing that, playing that mission, just got me right in the feels, man.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Quiet's ending was powerful. Quiet as a character was really interesting. That sniper battle you have with her at first was really cool. But I just feel like, yeah, I have so many problems with Metal Gear Solid 5. I can talk about it for another hour, but, like, I'm not. Which is, like, you know, the boss battles wasn't there.
Yeah.
Kojima, the story wasn't there. The cutscenes, there was, like, two-minute cutscenes, like, you go to rescue this hostage, okay, mission done, go in a helicopter, fly away. Okay, for this mission, destroy these tanks, fly in a helicopter, go away, no cutscene. And just, like, what am I doing here? Like, am I taking down Cypher? Like, this isn't has nothing to do with anything. Like,
you know, missions like that, as you said, like destroy these tanks to like cripple Cypher. It didn't
hostages, you know, like sorry.
Yeah, it didn't really have anything to do with the story, like just in terms of the story, like you're not like facing a skull face. You're not trying to get any intel on them. All you're doing is just like killing or extracting enemies. You're extracting vehicles or destroying them. You're just like doing all these things that doesn't really involve the main characters. It's just mainly just like all the just like all the bots, just almost no, like none of the main characters.
But yeah, you know, like you played Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes. Mm. Yeah, like this was cut out of the main game, but they had an idea like that was going to be the third area where you'd go back to that Camp Omega in Phantom Pain, and there was going to be a story reason for it, but it got cut out. Like, what would that idea could have been? Like, yeah, so many like open threads and plot holes that, you know, Kojima couldn't finish. But other than that, you know, I had so many reservations of the story. That's why it's at number 10. But like the best feeling game, just the gameplay feels so smooth, the shooting, like the different weird things you can do where like, the different companions you can have, like, it just felt so, I'm looking for the word, just precise and smooth. Like, the gameplay felt awesome. Like, open world stealth never felt that good. But, yeah, just one of the best feeling games ever. Like,
yeah.
The different way you can tackle missions, yeah. So that's my list. Do you have anything you want to say about my list, like placements or, like... Oh, sorry. Oh, my bad. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, Well, you know, I don't have any problems with it. I agree with your list, especially like with your selections.
I think one reservation I had was I kind of want to switch Metal Gear Solid 1 and Resident Evil 4. Yeah. I want to put Resident Evil 4 up one, but that's the only reservation I have on my list. Any surprises on the top that you thought that would make it on? Like, I feel like Skyrim was kind of a...
Yeah, I'm actually surprised you don't have Silent Hill 2.
Yeah, Silent Hill 2, like... we're running out of time. I don't have enough time to get into it, but it's amazing game. But yeah, that's my list. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more on your list and compare the two, but you want to go through your list now?
Sure.
Wait, did I start with number one? I think I did. Yeah, I did. Maybe you want to go number one. How do you want to do yours? It's up to you. Sorry, it's your list.
Well,
I went from number one to ten, but how do you want
to
do
yeah,
yours?
Yeah, go from number one to ten.
Okay. No, I'll just hold it.
Okay, so yeah, for number one, we have Red Dead Redemption 2.
So we didn't go into it very much on the first podcast. Yeah. I don't know if you want to talk about, give your piece on Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
Resident Evil Redemption 2.
So, I'm not going to go into depth with the, give away anything, like, no major... like points for the story.
So it's November 18th and you know Red Dead Redemption 2 just came out, so we shouldn't spoil it.
Yeah.
You know, just for people.
Yeah, for you and for other people. So yeah, this is gonna be spoiler free. So
like
if
you spoil it, people would legitimately turn this podcast off right now.
Yeah,
like, people listen to it.
Yeah,
so sorry to interrupt, but yeah, say your piece.
Yeah, it's gonna be spoiler free, so there's I'm not gonna reveal anything. I'm just gonna reveal I'm just gonna give my thoughts on how it felt, like how it played, like the mechanics of it and all that. And I'm just gonna give a bit of insight on the characters. I'm not gonna say like no major things. So the character you play is Arthur Morgan. This takes place in 1899, so it's before the first Red Dead. So he plays Arthur Morgan in the Dutch Vanderlyn gang. So you have John Marston, you have Dutch, Bill Williamson, Javier Escuela, and they're all young. So we see young John Marston. We see young Dutch. We even see a little
Jack.
Jack Marston. Oh my god. So cute. But and you play Arthur Morgan, who is this like
a member of the Vanderlyn.
Yeah, he is the second in command.
Second in command.
He's Dutch's best friend. His brother. And
Where's John Marston in the gang? Like third?
No, he's more like fifth or fourth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's younger John.
Yeah,
but...
yeah, he's like, I don't know, 20 something.
Okay.
And so, and Arthur is very just macho. Like, he's very, like he's, you know, tough. He's like he's a man's man.
Like, yeah, like if a situation happened, like he'd be the first one to step up and be like, "All right, let's take care of this."
Yeah, like, he you know, he's not afraid to like do anything for people, but he's very neutral in terms of his opinions. You know, he's total badass. Like, he's just.
I feel like of what I've seen and heard, his voice acting's really so well done. Mm-hmm. Like, his voice never like the accent and just his emotions and just like very well done.
Yeah. I had to agree with you there, and I'm not gonna reveal anything about the characters. I decided I don't want to like give away too much, but yeah, I'm just gonna give a bit of insight to the character you're playing, which is Arthur Morgan. And man, the graphics, oof.
Like amazing. Like, mm-hmm. I even mentioned this before, but you're walking through your camp and the sun ray, I think the sun was going down or up, and like the sun rays coming through the trees, mm-hmm. and just like you were moving back and forth. I was like, wait, stop, go back and forth. I was just like, wow, dude.
Yeah.
Attention to detail, mm-hmm. like, wow.
Yeah, Rockstar, the engine they used for that game, for the graphics, was completely realistic. I'm just gonna like share something. It's just like a little thing about the graphics, is that the engine they used was so realistic that I was So I had a male horse. So I was riding through the mountains, right?
Yeah.
And you can see its genitals. It was hanging.
Oh yeah, so, I saw this on like Kotaku and stuff. Yeah.
And it was so realistic that it was in the cold and that, you know, it just
shrivels up.
Yeah. Like, that was so realistic. I was like what? Like
attention to detail, like, mm-hmm. I just mentioned. Like,
yeah. There's and the sunrise, man, and the sunsets are just, like, they are something.
I thought The Witcher 3 had good sunrises and sunsets till I saw this game.
Yeah, you know, like, it's just, man, the way it played out, you know, it truly felt like a very, like, good Western game. Like it topped Red Dead Redemption 1, because, you know, came out 8 years ago. But, like, that game is, like, oh, man, it felt like every Western movie just rolled into one, and they made it a video game where you can play like the most macho character, like most badass. It was just awesome. Like,
wow,
man, I can go on and on about this game. Like, the attention to detail, just everything about the game is total masterpiece.
I believe it. I still have to play, which, like, kill me now. I want to play that game, but
yeah,
I'm surprised that it's at number one. Obviously, amazing game, and you loved it. You beat it. But like a so recently game that came out is number one in your list. Mm-hmm. Like, do you find that surprising, or it literally just came out? But.
Yeah, I find it really surprising because, you know, I'm sure like people who still haven't played it yet, they want to, because it was like, you know, brand spanking new. So, but you know, for me to get my hands on it like pretty early, it was a true like treat, man. It was a real thing.
So last thing on this, and we'll move on. Okay, three options. Was the ending good, okay, or was it bad? Like, no spoilers, just those three.
Good.
Okay. Yeah, we'll move on. Number two, The Last of Us. We talked about this a lot, but any other... We can talk about it again. Like, it's fine.
You know, as we kept on coming back to this game, you know, as we said before countless times, Last of Us is, like, just phenomenal. Like, it's awesome. Like, it's... You know, it's really something. Like Naughty Dog just knows... Like, even though... Creating like a zombie survival game wasn't something that they did or do, and the fact that they just like got it, like, you know, you're scavenging for parts and all that, ammo, just supplies.
Yeah, and like a stealth system, like for Naughty Dog to go from Uncharted, where like this Indiana Jones type hero, suave, has one-liners for days, so smooth, and like, you know, like this swashbuckling adventure shooter, to The Last of Us, like completely tone shift to like post-apocalypse, dark as hell. Look at the intro for that game. That's dark as F.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just like the tone change that Naughty Dog did to go from, yeah, like what I said, swashbuckling to post-apocalyptic setting, and just like nail it out of the park. Like, I love The Last of Us over Uncharted. Like, Uncharted, like, it's okay. Like, going to 360, I don't really care about, like, Uncharted is okay, but The Last of Us, like, wow.
But yeah, sorry, I interrupted you. Can you keep going? I keep interrupting you.
No, it's all right. And, you know, with the story, it's just so well written. It's just, like, just... It's, like, so, like, gritty. Like, honestly, like, a lot of crazy stuff happens, especially right off the bat, off the intro, man. Like, that... Like, not many games do that, where, like, something, like, very pivotal happens to the character, to the main character you're playing.
And all of a sudden, you understand Joel's motivation.
Yeah.
Like, you understand Joel's motivation for how his feelings towards Ellie are.
Yeah.
You know, he lost a daughter, so now he has Ellie. Like, at first, they're kind of like, you know, I'm shipping this. This is a job. And towards the end of the game, like, this is my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, like, oh, man. Oh, yeah, like, it's just, it's like so good.
But yeah, The Last of Us, the multiplayer here was pretty good. I played a little bit of it, but whatever. But, Obviously, and I can't wait for The Last of Us 2, but yeah, for number 3 on your list?
Metal Gear Solid 3.
Metal Gear Solid 3. I'm surprised, like, before we did the last minute change and you put a Metal Gear game on your list.
Yeah.
Wait, I just want to say before this, why didn't you put Metal Gear Solid 5 on your list?
I have no idea. I
ran out of room.
Yeah, I ran out of room. I've had, like, a top 20 games of all time, or top 15.
Probably. Metal Gear Solid 5, number 11.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, Metal Gear Solid 3, as we, like, discussed before, it's, like, really great game. It takes place in the 60s and introduces a whole variety of things.
You guys should look up the song called Snake Eater. Like, remember, like, the Virtuous Mission ends and, like, da-da-da-da.
Or, like, or when you climb that long ladder.
Oh, yeah. Let me even look up, like, the ladder song where, like, what a thrill.
Yeah.
Darkness and silence through the night. Dude, like, the Snake Eater song is probably one of my favorite songs in video games of all time. It's so James Bond.
Yeah.
Like, I remember playing that game, you play the Virtuous Mission, you get your ass kicked. Like, the boss breaks your arm, betrays you, throws you over the... Or, wait, what happens? Does she do that?
Yeah, she breaks, you know, just kicks your ass, breaks your arm, throws you off the bridge.
Okay, yeah, and that happens, and, yeah, sorry, and then, yeah, mission failed. Like, they got Sokolov, the boss betrayed you, mission failed. A game ends, and the new mission begins, where, like, you recovered, and, like, as soon as the virtual mission ends, it goes to a credit sequence, where, like, that game, that song plays, and I'm like, wow, that's so James Bond. Yeah. Like, if you haven't heard that song, go look it up. It's so cool. Snake Eater, Metal Gear, you'll find it. But, yeah, sorry, I keep co-opting on your thoughts, but Metal Gear Solid 3 means so much to me, but, yeah.
Yeah. You know, boss battles were, like, awesome. One thing I also liked was, say if you got, like, food poisoning, got bitten by a venomous snake, or you're hungry, then you gotta, like, take care of yourself. You got shot or cut, you gotta apply, like, ointment, stitch yourself up and all that. So, like, you know, just, like, self-healing, I guess, was really something.
Yeah, well, how many other games had camouflage and self-healing? Mm-hmm. So, like... And that was back in 2006 or 7 or 2004.
2004.
Yeah, so I don't remember, like, way back then, like, these new systems that Kojima introduced and just, like, wow, so new and fresh. And, like, especially coming off Metal Gear Solid 2, like, the fans were asking Kojima, like, what was Metal Gear Solid 2? Like, the fans hated it. Mm-hmm. And then Kojima was like, okay, like, we're going to make you a manly man character now. We're going to, like, this takes place in the 60s in the jungle. We're going to introduce Big Boss. And, like, gave the fans what they wanted with Metal Gear Solid 3. People were crying after Metal Gear Solid 2. Like, please, Kojima, give us something like 1. And just, like, nails it out of the park. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, the fans were asking for that game, man. Like, and they delivered.
Should we move on?
Yeah, we talked about this before. Yeah, sorry.
Now, number 4, I have Spider-Man 4. PS4. Spider-Man PS4.
Spider-Man. I still got to get this game. I'm waiting for it to go on sale. You know, my thoughts on superhero stuff, I said it so many times. Like, I don't even have to say this anymore. People know. Keeping up with the canon of Rotten Potato.
Yeah, and I just want to say something real quick. It's not related to the list, but there is a Avengers game coming out.
Save this for the main podcast. No, just kidding. No, really?
Yeah, I think it might be by Insomniac. But yeah, there's an Avengers game coming out, and the hype is real. Like, it's, there hasn't been anything, it's just been a teaser of the logo, and it's, like, coming soon or something. But yeah, I just want to add that real quick.
Coming soon, TM.
Yeah.
Cool. But, Spider-Man 4, came out, got amazing reviews, came out in September. People adored that game. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, it surpassed God of War 4 on its opening weekend.
Insane.
So, you know, you start off as Peter Parker.
Peter Parker?
Instantly, you start off just saving the city. Like, opening credits, you that's all you're doing, saving the city from Kingpin. And
Kingpin, dude, isn't that Daredevil?
He's both. He was mainly introduced through Spider-Man.
Oh my god, what?
Same thing with Daredevil. Daredevil was introduced through Spider-Man. So was a Punisher.
That's insane.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Like, all these characters became, like, main Marvel characters were introduced through, like...
So they're, like, spin-off characters? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So, you're Peter Parker. You're, like, 23. So, and he got his powers at age 15. So, he is used to his powers. He is a college graduate. Has a job as a scientist.
Delivering pizza?
No, he doesn't deliver pizza.
Bro!
He's a full-time scientist now.
Pizza time.
But, you know, just, like the fluidity of the web swinging in that game was just really something. Like, it's very fluent. Like, it's just, oh, man, I can, like, words, like, I'm having a hard time coming up with words.
Just the way, like, you can flip and just, like, that's what people said in the reviews and stuff. They're like, it just feels so smooth and satisfying.
Yeah, like, and you can do tricks in the air, which is awesome. Like, oh, man, like, oh, that game was just, like, really fun to play. It made me feel like, like a little kid. Like, wow. Oh, man, you know, just, like, Spider-Man, oh.
You know, Connor's a big fan of Spider-Man, so.
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of Stan Lee, you know, rest in peace to a living, to a legend.
To a legend. You know? He almost said living legend. Yeah, what?
I'm sorry. Please.
He's turning over in his grave.
Don't laugh. Don't laugh.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. But Stan Lee, you know, you were you were truly a legend. You know, you made everyone's childhoods just dazzle with all of your creations. Like, it's, you know, you were really something, man.
I said this off podcast, but his cameos in Marvel movies. Gonna miss that.
The cameo king right there.
Yeah. So,
yeah, sir, you know, I salute you. We will forever miss you, but your legacy will live on.
So I have nothing much to say about Spider-Man, but yeah, got great reviews. I'm waiting for it to go on sale personally because I'm not a big comic book hero fan. I'm not really drawn towards that stuff, but the gameplay and the web swinging sounds good. I'm gonna get it. So Red Dead. Wait.
One. Yeah, number five. Man, it was a really good Western game. The story was written really, really well.
Came out 2010.
2010, yeah.
I just want to break it down a little bit. Like, it was such a surprise when the game came out. Like, oh, like, Red Dead Revolver came out, and it was kind of like an okay Western game. And, like, I think Rockstar bought the rights to that game. And, like, they made, coming out with Red Dead Redemption in 2010. Do you feel like that was such a big surprise? Like, I don't know if you remember it because you're probably 9 years old, but like.
But I have the game backwards compatible on my Xbox, so. Think about playing that, like, since I beat Red Dead 2, play that, yeah. So, but yeah, you know, that game was really something. Like, back then, it was like, you know, I'm pretty sure people's favorite Western game before Red Dead 2 came out, but there was so many, like, cool things that they introduced to that game.
I feel like the Deadeye system was really cool. Like, they kind of co-opted that from the Max Payne series, you know, the slow down jump thing.
Yeah.
But with Deadeye, they kind of, like, reinvented it. And it was a really cool concept where, like, you tag people mm-hmm. and it goes slow motion and, like, boom, 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 they're dead. Like, yeah. It was really cool, man. Yeah. Like, yeah, it was a cool mechanic.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the story was, like, oh, man. Story was good. The ending was really sad.
How about that song when you get to Mexico?
Yeah, and you're going to Mexico, and then you hear like some like guy strumming a guitar and singing.
That's a common rhetoric I see, and people are like, "Yeah, I love that game, but the Mexico part was not good." But, dude, I want to replay that game because man, it's so hard to remember. I remember loving that game, but I played it literally probably 6 years ago, probably 8 years ago. The last time I played it, I can't remember anything, dude. Mm-hmm. I remember like the grave robber weird dude. I remember like. Don't remember anything, dude. It's crazy. Oh my god. Time. But yeah, and the ending, we already mentioned it, but powerful, and I loved it. Yeah, it was on the previous podcast, but it's so unexpected, and loving games take you by surprise. But next game.
Number six, I have Batman Arkham City.
Well, I thought you had Splinter Cell. No. Or you changed it. Yeah, I moved it. I really wish you X'd out. So I was looking at the wrong game. So the whole. So Batman Arkham City at number six. Batman Arkham City. I don't have much to say, sorry. This is all you.
So yeah, the game came out 2011. Remember, there's a lot of hype for that game. It made it up there for, like pretty high up there for superhero games.
2009, came out 2009.
No, that's Arkham Asylum.
This is City?
Arkham City. The second game in the franchise.
Dude, I'm slipping.
But yeah, came out 2011. Play like a fairly open world prison city, I guess.
Yep.
You know, that game, oh man, it introduced, you know, it had, like, some of its well-known characters and villains, like, you know, Joker, Penguin, and all that. But it introduced a bit more. We see Ra's al Ghul.
Catwoman.
Catwoman, yeah. Two-Face, Penguin, which we, some of, the, like, those characters we didn't see in the first one.
Deadshot,
yeah, just, like, all these, like, great, like, well-known DC characters. Just like the way it felt, like with the stealth mechanics, you know, Batman, Master Stealth, all that. He's a, you know, ninja.
Yep.
Yeah, the stealth was really, really good. How it invented that, well known and frequently used combat system.
Yeah, like. Yeah, I just want to mention one change from Batman Arkham Asylum to City, where, like, Arkham Asylum, I remember replaying it a few years later. Like, you lent me that game, and I played that game. It just felt so constricted, like, in Asylum, because, you know, it kind of felt like a test. Like,
yeah.
Let's see how this goes. And with Arkham City, like, it was open world, so spread out. You have so much more movement to walk around. Like, how am I going to overtake this base? Like, I can fly in.
Yeah.
And the flying felt really good. I'm not flying, but gliding, I guess. Gliding. And, like, yeah, the game looked really good. I feel like that game really got overshadowed by Elder Scrolls Skyrim.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Skyrim came out the same year, 2011.
Same thing with Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah, like, every game got overshadowed because Skyrim was so huge, mm-hmm. man. Like, yeah. And people did talk about the game. Obviously, it was a great game. A lot of people, game of the year. But, like, yeah, bad year for it to come out. But amazing game. And yeah, with the Batman combat, it revolutionized 3D combat for a whole generation. Even to this day, you play Shadow of Mordor, and bro, that's Batman combat. Like, even to this day, there's still, like, you play Sleeping Dogs. What is that combat? It's Batman.
Yeah,
it's
Batman combat.
And congrats to Rocksteady for inventing that combat system and, like, 3D combat in general. But, yeah. Any other thoughts?
No. Say I should move on?
Oh, yeah.
Number seven, Rainbow Six Siege.
I kind of said my piece on this yesterday. You have any other thoughts?
I pretty much said all I had to say yesterday. So.
But, yeah, like, I already talked about it on my list. So, Rainbow Six Siege at number seven and number eight.
Mm-hmm. Number eight, God of War 4.
God of War 4. I think it just God of War, but I like how I put 4 because it can be confusing.
Yeah. You know, pretty much said all we had to say yesterday about this game. Great game. Combat was really, really something. The story, I don't know.
It's between God of War and Red Dead Redemption for Game of the Year, let's be real.
But, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2.
You know, God of War.
Yeah, but God of War is best.
So PS4. We'll have this fight, Game of the Year 2018. We'll have this fight.
But it's a PlayStation exclusive.
Brother, it's not a fight you can win.
And yeah, pretty much all I had to say yesterday. So,
oh yeah, I have my thoughts on God of War. It didn't make my list. I'll make this short because, you know, we're running out of time. We're not running out of time, but just like with God of War, like I loved it for the first 8 to 15 hours or 8 to 10 hours. I loved God of War. Loved like the character between him and his son. Like the relationship was really good. The combat felt really nice, but. All of a sudden, towards the end of the game, I just wanted to finish it. I put it down to easy. I was getting frustrated. And with the combat, I felt like the combat was getting so repetitive. They give you the Blades of Chaos, but by the time they did that, I was I was just tired of that game, playing that game. I was just like, I stopped doing the side mission, and I'm like, just get this done. I finished the game, but just like, by the end of it, and the last boss fight was really annoying. There's like a regenerating enemies, and like, I don't know, man. Like, it was so weird for me. I looked at everybody else's reviews, and for the most part, everyone loved it. But like, I don't know if I'm getting old, or I play too many games, or something weird. But I just felt really repetitive by the end, the gameplay. I was just like, please get this over with. I bumped it down to easy, got it done. But like, do you find that weird or?
A little bit, yeah. It's kind of like on and off.
You know, like certain boss fights that kept dying too much, a little frustrated.
But yeah, on the ending boss fight, yeah, like I got him down to so much health, and like the enemy, there was like four enemies that kept regenerating, and like I'm trying to take out this enemy, and like he kept like breaking my combos. Like go for a sick combo, he'd break it, or like, and I couldn't block his stuff very right. I don't know, just like maybe it's just me, but like yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing game. Obviously, but I just have my reservations. That's just me.
Moving on. Number 9, I have Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Splinter Cell Blacklist. Remember 2013, like in 2012, Connor was so hyped about Splinter Cell Blacklist.
It's all hype.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you were obviously younger. Like, you were just a little kid when this came out. We talked about this yesterday, but like, I remember you guys being so hyped for this game. They're like, oh, they're rebooting it. They're going to get a different... Sam Fisher, this actor, and he was really, and I love that game, but yeah, you know more than me.
And you know, I like the way it played out. I like how they improved on the execution system from previous to Conviction, Splinter Cell Conviction.
What was the game before Blacklist? Conviction?
Yeah, Conviction.
Oh, it was, okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and they introduced the execute system in there, but it wasn't killing in motion, like where you hold left stick while you're moving. You press Y to execute, and you're... basically executing while you're moving. That's something they didn't have in Conviction. You just execute while standing still.
It just makes for a really good like last minute situation where like you're trying to do this mission without being caught, and you do that just to like save yourself, like last desperation.
Yeah,
really cool mechanic.
Yeah, and you know, they improved on the night vision. Like from Conviction, it was just sonar.
Yep.
So they added sonar and night vision and takedowns. I really like the hand-to-hand takedowns. You got to go lethal or non-lethal.
Or even having that choice to go non-lethal and lethal, like the leveling up system in that game was really good.
Yeah.
The weapon upgrades and all the different weapons you can have is amazing.
Yeah.
And you get two choices in that game to go lethal or non-lethal. And that was so cool. Like, if you go non-lethal, you get way more points. And like, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. That was really cool.
Yeah. That was really something. It was, you know, it felt so smooth the way, you know, Sam Fisher just like killed people. And
I remember back in 2013 you were so hyped about it, like you said, and we played co-op missions. You're like, we set up the 360 and we're playing co-op missions as you play as a partner. Yeah. And it was really fun, man, like trying to set up dual executions, like going through that game with split screen co-op. It was so much fun. I'm like, wait, this game has split screen co-op? Like, oh my god, like really? And it was really fun. We played so much of it, man. Like, I remember you playing that game, you're like, you were obsessed with it, and just like great memories. I have a lot of great memories. But amazing game. Like, Ubisoft, this is a petition, make another Splinter Cell game. Do you want another Splinter Cell game?
Well, Ubisoft said like they're not done with the franchise. They still have plans to bring back the Splinter Cell franchise, but for now, they don't have anything to go on. Like they don't have a premise for the story.
Like an idea.
Yeah. So they basically don't have anything. But they said that they're not done with it.
So I feel like do it like Phantom Pain style, like Outposts, the different options, and like I would say like I'm not a developer. I'm not trying to tell the developers what to do. But like Phantom Pain is one of the best stealth games of all time. One of the best open world games of all time in terms of feel.
Yeah.
And like maybe you look at that for inspiration, but I'm not trying to tell the devs what to do, you know, like I'm not a developer.
Yeah. And in one DLC for Ghost Recon Wildlands, they bring back the original voice actor, Michael Ironside.
That was really cool. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, whatever happened to the guy with the bandana referencing Solid Snake? He's like, oh, I'm the only one left.
Yeah.
He's like the last like stealth guy left.
Yeah. Because,
like, you know, the Metal Gear series died.
They don't make them like they used to.
Yeah, I was just so cool. Like the look on his face, like, oh, I'm the only one left.
It's like it's only me.
Yeah, it was so cool, that man. I love that. That was so funny.
Like. Yeah. So you know that bring back a sliver of hope for Splinter Cell the Die Hard fans, including me, for like you know to at least keep the that journey going, that long living journey going. So, yeah, Splinter Cell it was really something.
Yeah, I would like to see another Splinter Cell game. I'd love to see it. Like, imagine a new Splinter Cell game with, like, next-gen hardware. Because Blacklist came out on 360. Mm-hmm. You know, like, imagine a game on new hardware, Splinter Cell, like The Rain and Ubisoft. Yeah. Please.
You know, like, yeah, you have a lot to improve on. You know, please make another one.
Ubisoft, please. And that's number 9.
Number 10, final one, is Hitman Absolution.
Okay, off the bat, I'm just going to say, why Absolution over Blood Money? Okay, go.
Gameplay was better.
Wait, what year did Blood Money come out? 2000...
It was like 2005, 2006.
Yeah, you're right, 2006. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, Blood Money was so fun to play. But Absolution, it had like... It introduced a lot more since it was, you know,
Since Blood Money?
Yeah, since the franchise, it was improved upon since the last game.
Dude, that's crazy. So like Hitman Blood Money came out, must have been 2005, 2006.
Yeah.
And then Absolution came out 2012, so that must have been like
7 years right there.
7 years later, and they couldn't make a better game.
Yeah. Whoa,
you agreed with me, bro. Blood Money.
Well, I mean,
on the list.
No, I'm just kidding. But you know, the story was really something. I felt like, you know, they made a Hitman movie, which wasn't terrible. That was
2 Hitman movies.
Yeah. So, yeah, if they made a Hitman movie that wasn't terrible, they could definitely use that as some sort of premise.
You know, one scene in the Hitman movie you should look up is the knife fight in the subway.
The subway? Yeah. I
Dude, that's a savage scene, dude. Like, the only good scene.
Going up against all those agents in that
Isn't
train.
Isn't that weird? Like, a weird... Timothy Oliphant would just... I don't know, man. This didn't fit, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I kind of thought he did during some parts, but, you know, yeah.
He was too skinny, man. Well, I don't know. But, yeah, sorry. Talk about Absolution. My bad.
You
know, so what do you like about the game?
I liked the different ways you can kill somebody. Like, you know, just, like, different opportunities. Sure, you had that with Blood Money, but with Absolution, they kind of just made it a bit more, like, improved upon. A lot more options to kill somebody. You could, like, follow them. You could just straight up, like, snipe them, shoot them, do whatever. They just gave you a ton of opportunities to, like, just get rid of someone. And, you know, the instinct.
Is that where, like, you see through walls and stuff, like detective vision from Batman?
And you can see their predicted fields of movement.
Oh, like footprints?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. That's cool.
Yeah. That was really something. I remember when I played it, was like, and the graphics are just like good. You know, Square Enix can really nail that rain effect.
Squeenix. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I remember back in 2012 when the game came out, yeah, the rain, the graphics looked really good in that game back in 2012. But on my problems, I have 2 problems. I mentioned the checkpointing system I mentioned before, which was weird. Like it'll save a previous game state. No, like compared to Blood Money, where like you do something on the other side of the map and it would... And then you go back to it, like, it'll stay the same. But in Absolution, they have the checkpointing system, which completely messes it up.
Well,
and just, like...
Oh, sorry. But they gave you the option to turn it off. Like, turn off the checkpoint system if you wanted to be, like, classic Hitman.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can go in Purist mode, the highest difficulty, no instinct. Health doesn't regenerate. And there's no checkpoint system. It's pretty much like Blood Money.
Okay. Well, I'm glad they did add that, because that was a big problem. Another big problem I had were, like... So the story is, like, Hitman is on the run, and, like, basically, like, it was a problem with the disguises in that game. I don't know if you remember, but, like, even if you put on, like, you go to knock out a policeman, and, like, you take their disguise, and, like, even, like, they would recognize you, like, really easily.
Yeah.
Like, it was actually a problem where, like, even if you went close to them, like, they would recognize you, compared to Hitman Blood Money, where, like, you can just roll around and as the same disguise unless you, like, do something suspicious. But in Absolution, like, you can't even, like, I don't know, like, the disguises system was kind of broken. Like, do you remember that, or, like...
Yeah, with the recent Hitman game, you know, the one that's released episodically.
Yeah.
They kind of improved upon that. It's only certain people that will recognize you. Like, say, if you're dressed as a mechanic, then that mechanic's boss will, like, just recognize
you. Which makes sense, yeah. And I like that system.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's improved upon in the recent Hitman game, so, yeah.
But, yeah, with Absolution, I'll just say it again, let's say you dress as a policeman. I'll just give that example again. And like, how would every policeman, like, if there's multiple policemen in one mission, like, how would one policeman recognize you that you're not a policeman? Like, sure, like, maybe he's on your squad and, like, but, like, every, I don't know, it was just broken. Like, it was really strange. Yeah. And just, like, although it was an okay game, but I did have problems with it, and I see why, because it's more, it looks better than Blood Money. But I feel like, in my opinion, I feel like Blood Money is vastly superior, even how outdated it is, mm-hmm. to Absolution. Way better than Absolution, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that, on Blood Money over Absolution? Like,
well, you know, Blood Money is a great Hitman game. It's probably the best, like, out of the whole franchise.
Yeah.
So, yeah, makes sense that you would say that, yeah.
Blood Money saved that series, man. Yeah. But yeah, I love Blood Money so much. Like, I talked about it before, the different maps. I feel like the maps are better than Absolution. The disguises are better. The different situations. Like, dude, you could knock a piano on someone's head in Blood Money. And so in the rehab clinic. But I don't know. I just feel like Blood Money is so much superior to Absolution. But you know what? That's your list. You know, this is just my opinion. I'm just surprised. And I'm trying to give my reasoning. Trying to understand your thought on why you put the worst game on there. When you have Blood Money, which revolutionized the stealth game. But yeah, I've done enough yelling for today. So, like, how long we've been going. So, yeah, that's game of the year. I mean, game of the year.
Our top 10 games of the year. Or games of all time.
So, this is our list of top 10 games of all time. I hope you guys are able to keep up. Like, this is part two. So, I'm going to release part one. And then, I don't know how much longer I'll release part two. Mm-hmm. But I'll probably do that as soon as I get back to the house, which might be next week. So, but yeah, I just want to end up on, like, so Sony's not going to have a PS... they're not going to have a conference at
E3. Yeah,
yeah. Isn't that crazy? Like, this is, like, November 18th. Or, sorry, this is November 15th where we're saying this, 2018. What are your thoughts on that? I know this is, like, supposed to be a secluded podcast, but...
Yeah, it's the first time in, like, a few decades, I think, that they're doing this. So, it's a pretty big surprise. Like, you know, I think Sony just wants to, like, save it for next E3 to, really unveil what they have. So yeah, it's a big shocker. It was pretty big to me when I found out today.
I feel like, you know, shoot or shoot, and Sony shot, dude. God of War, Uncharted 4, Horizon Zero Dawn,
Spider-Man
PS4, Detroit Become Human. I'm just talking about, like, exclusives, and like, and they already showed The Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
They already showed, Days Gone is, might be, but, like, they already showed their stuff, and, like, Sony kind of blew their wad. Like, there's nothing else to show. I feel like, you know, like, are you going to show The Last of Us again? Are you going to show, what's a Kojima game?
Death Stranding.
You can't show another trailer of that. People have already seen it, and just, like, I understand why. And, yeah, is it shocking to you? Like,
yeah, it's pretty shocking, but then again, you know, Sony... As you said, like, just
shot. Shoot or shoot?
Yeah. They just, like, shot their shot.
Shoot or shoot.
So,
man.
Yeah. It makes sense for them to, like, kind of, like, regroup and then just, like, yeah, okay, so what do we have next and all that.
I remember seeing, you ever seen that meme, shoot or shoot?
Yeah.
On Twitter where, like, someone did, like, a weird, like, was hitting on a girl and just, like, it was a really weird pickup line and she's like, no, gross. And the headline on it was like, shoot or shoot, man. Shoot or shoot. Just so funny. But yeah, sorry, meme minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's so shocking. It's the reason why, you know, shoot or shoot, they shot their shot. Ugh, whatever.
Yeah.
They have nothing else to show, so I understand why. People are like burning it to the ground, like, oh, is E3 relevant anymore? Like, is E3 going to dissolve because it doesn't matter anymore? And just like people freaking out and just like,
nah,
oh my God, Sony's done. And just like, and there's also a rumor, 2020 PS5.
Yeah, you know, a few months ago, Sony unveiled that they're already working on another next-gen console.
That's crazy, man. Wow.
Yeah,
wow. PS5 2020, like, thoughts, like...
Because Xbox One X, it's currently, like, the most powerful console on the market right now.
So. It is,
yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, Sony was like, you know what? We'll one up you. We are working on something right now. You know, PS5.
Oh. I just have questions about, like, is the PS4 going to be able to run PS5 games? Is The Last of Us 2 going to be PS5 exclusive? Is the PS5 going to launch with Last of Us 2? Is it going to launch with Cyberpunk? Like, dude, like, so many questions.
Like, strange. Like, just all these, like, games, man.
Hearing these thoughts, like, I was really thinking about getting a PS4 Pro, and I think I'm still going to do it, but just, like, hearing these thoughts, I'm just like, wow, like, crazy, man, 2020. It's a rumor. Like, maybe it's confirmed, whatever, but, like, crazy, but, like, but, yeah, once this comes, this part one and two might come out, like, 2 weeks later, so it'll be, like, well, like, December when this comes out? Mm-hmm. Or, no, it'll be, like, late November when this part two might, well, we'll see, maybe next week, but... Yeah, this is our game of the list. Maybe we'll go through our list one more time. So for Connor's list, it's really confusing. Maybe you should maybe go 10 to 1 on your list. Like for your. So this is top 10 games of all time from 10 to 1. This is Connor's list. All
right. Yeah. For number 10, have Hitman Absolution. Number 9, SpongeBob Blacklist. Number 8, God of War. Number 7, Rainbow Six Siege. Number 6, Batman Arkham City. Number 5, Red Dead 1. Number 4, Spider-Man PS4. Number 3, Metal Gear Solid 3. Number 2, Last of Us. And number 1, Red Dead Redemption 2.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
Not cool, bro.
Dying does so far. You messed up 7. Wait, what's number 8, number 7? Sorry.
8 or God of War 4. Number 7 is R6.
Chill, dude. Dude, sorry to kill me. You're like, yeah, number 8, God of War. Number 4, Rainbow... I mean, number 7. Sorry, I don't know why that killed me. Did you say your list?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But yeah, I'm just... My biggest shocker... Oh, the podcast is done. I'm sorry, I'm tired. Oh my god, I died. This is my list. So yours is Red Dead Redemption 2 for number 1. My list, starting from number 10 to 1, number 10, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. Number 9, Fallout 3 / New Vegas, I couldn't decide, sorry. Number 8, Rainbow Six Siege. Number 7, Call of Duty 4. Number 6, The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt. Number 5, Resident Evil 4. Number 4, Metal Gear Solid 1, Twin Snakes. Number 3, Mass Effect 2. Number 2, The Last of Us. And number 1, Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater. So, yeah, what did you think of the podcast? What did you think about it? Was this a good idea, a bad idea? Like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, it was a good idea. It was kind of hard, but, you know, it was good.
I when you messed up the 7 and 4, you know, number 1, that killed me a second ago. And I was trying to make an Agent 47 joke, like a Hitman joke, but I couldn't. But yeah, that was our list. Hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. We talked a little bit of Sony, canceling the E3. Any other closing thoughts? Closing thoughts.
Everybody, buy Red Dead Redemption 2 or Spider-Man PS4. Not like some people are like with me right now. But yeah,
man's got jokes.
Yeah, Red Dead Redemption 2, you know, like definitely worth it. You can tell Rockstar just put their heart and soul into that. With Insomniac with Spider-Man PS4, so I recommend those two. Like the PS4.
The different costumes alone, Spider-Man is worth it.
Yeah, yeah, like the costume selection. You know, with the Homecoming suit, that's my favorite suit right there.
Magnifique.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really like your list. I actually like your list. I was really surprised Red Dead Redemption 2 because it's so new. Mm-hmm. That game is so new. It made number one. Like for me, I'm such a nostalgic. I'm an old man, so older games kind of take solace in that. So yeah, this is our list. Hope you guys enjoyed it. This was part two of the top 10 games of all time. Have a good one, everybody. And remember, shooters shoot. Aaron38 on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. Subscribe to the podcast. If you listen to this on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Google Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're on, not on SoundCloud, but yeah, we're everywhere. We're distributed, so.
Yeah, and I'm FPSFallout21 on Twitter, Xbox, Instagram, so yeah, peace.
Peace out. Thank you. Peace. Have a good one. Shooters shoot. Mm-hmm.